Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We're hoping we're going to have Richard Miniter with us. And Richard had written a wonderful book before called Losing Bin Laden. And it was read into the background of what had happened during the years leading up to 9-1-1, when at least on 11 different occasions, the intelligence agencies of the United States had the opportunity to capture or kill Osama bin Laden and consistently refused to do that. Now, they always had an excuse. Even after bin Laden had knowingly been involved with the bombing of a hotel in Aden in 1992 in an effort to kill Americans, he had been involved in the bombing of the World Trade Center in 1993, he had been involved in the Black Hawk Down killing of Americans in Somalia in 1994, in 1996, he was certainly involved with the Khobar tower bombing, and certainly there's so many other things. And so we're going to have Richard Miniter with us just a few minutes. And then, of course, we know that in 1996, bin Laden declared war on the United States and said that he was going to attack our country. And then in 1998, he did the same thing, and he was involved with the bombing of the embassies in both Kenya and Tanzania, and then the bombing of the coal in the year 2000, and time after time after time, why there was an opportunity to kill Osama bin Laden or capture Osama bin Laden, and our intelligence agencies repeatedly refused to do that. And so it was really a wonderful time. It was a wonderful book, Losing Bin Laden by Richard Miniter. So I was looking forward to his next book, and it's come out now. It's called Disinformation, 22 Media Myths That Undermine the War on Terror. Now, I would have to say I disagree with some of the things that are written here, but I'd like you to hear Mr. Miniter. I think he's a fascinating individual. I think he's got a lot of fascinating information. Even though we might disagree with it, I want you to hear what he has to say. So hopefully we're going to have him with us in just a few minutes here, as we begin trying to make people understand that nothing is as it appears to be. And if you read the newspapers and you're confused at what you read, and you think of things that are a little confusing, often this is done intentionally. And I think we have him on the line right now. Mr. Miniter, are you there?
I'm here.
Thank you so very much for being with us again. And I don't know whether you recall, but we interviewed you several times on your book, Losing Bin Laden. And so good to have you with us. And of course, we're going to be talking about your book of Disinformation. So you've essentially done a lot of traveling then, trying to track down people to give you the stories that you have?
Absolutely. I believe in the old-fashioned shoe-leather reporting. I go to see people directly, and I go out to lots of foreign countries. I've been out to Iraq, Sudan, Egypt, across the Middle East, North Africa, Southeast Asia.
How are you able to do that? Isn't this pretty difficult to do? I mean, it must be awfully expensive traveling to all those places.
Well, that's why I'm pretty fortunate to have a couple of bestsellers behind me.
All right, fine. Well, how did that Losing Bin Laden do? Did that do pretty well?
Oh, yeah, that was a New York Times bestseller for quite a while.
All right.
And Shadow War was also a New York Times bestseller. And maybe with the help of your program, Disinformation will climb on in the bestseller.
All right. Well, we certainly hope it will, and we're going to be back in just a moment as we begin getting into some of the myths that Richard has addressed as far as what's going on today. But just in a moment, we will start taking the 22 media myths that undermine the war on terror, and I think you'll be surprised at what some of these things are. We'll be back here in just a moment.
For months now, you've been hearing about the incredible health benefits of Zango, the functional health beverage made from the whole fruit of mangosteen. What you probably didn't know is that Zango joined forces with the leading manufacturer and distributor of functional health beverages like Capri Sun, Sobe, Mystic, and Red Bull to create the fastest growing business opportunity in America today. Are you sick of barely having enough money? Are you tired of working so hard yet feeling like you'll never get ahead? Are you ready to start investing in your own business instead of somebody else's? Whatever it is you seek, Zango could be the special company that helps you achieve your hopes and dreams. So take matters into your own hands. Create a future that doesn't depend on a fickle 401k and lateral promotions. Zango is what you are looking for. Find out more by calling 888-203-6633 or visit mangosteenmarket.com. That's M-A-N-G-O-S-T-E-E-N market.com. Call 888-203-6633 today.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior now with the Total Transformation, the program that helps stop defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. Your child will listen to you again. I guarantee it.
Change your child's behavior now with the Total Transformation. Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
When my son started having behavior problems, the Total Transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Do you need an instruction manual for your kid? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior now with the Total Transformation, the program that helps stop defiance and backtalking. Your child will listen to you again. I guarantee it.
Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
And Appendix A, we'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and our guest is Mr. Richard Miniter. We're talking about some of the myths that he addresses in his book on disinformation. I was just pointing out that the presidential daily briefing, it says it's reproduced in Appendix A, but it isn't in Appendix A. Did they leave it out of my book? Is it in your book?
I think my publisher is Regnery, and they're a bit slapdash, so once in a while they miss something.
So you made a big point of that, and I thought they're really so important, I thought every American should read that presidential daily briefing so they would know what it really said.
And yeah, I believe it is in the book. They probably just it's in a different appendix.
Because I went all through them. Well, be that as it may, I went through all of them, and I sure couldn't find it. But anyway, what are some of the other things? Now, many people believe that bin Laden had kidney failure, and he was on dialysis. Where did that story come from, and why do you believe it isn't true?
Well, I know it isn't true. Partly because we know that in October 2002, bin Laden's personal doctor, a guy named Dr. Amir Aziz, was captured in Pakistan and interrogated by the Pakistani Intelligence Service, the ISI, as well as the CIA and FBI. He was held for incommunicado for more than a month, and he repeatedly insisted that bin Laden had no kidney problems at all, and that if he had, there are various telltale signs that he would have exhibited, which he didn't. That's one thing. Second thing is that bin Laden himself, who has been interviewed in a number of newspapers around the world in various languages, in every interview, every single interview in which he's asked about this in any language on earth, his answer is always to deny the kidney problems.
So why then is this such a prevalent belief?
Where did this story come from? I'll tell you. It came from Pakistani intelligence. They leaked it to a Pakistani newspaper, a newspaper called Dawn, to a reporter named Hamid Mir back in 1998. Because back in 1998, on August 7th of that year, two U.S. embassies were blown up by al-Qaeda in East Africa, killing 224 people, including more than a dozen American diplomats. President Clinton, who did not like to take action against terrorism, I guess in 1998 he was busy with another problem closer to home, was putting immense pressure on Pakistan to get their allies, the Taliban, to turn bin Laden over to the United States. And the Pakistanis, the last thing they wanted to do was weaken the Taliban by turning bin Laden over. So they put the story out that he had kidney problems and was probably going to die anyway, to give the Clinton administration an excuse not to do anything. And that is, in fact, what happened.
And so then all the other subsequent stories that have come out, you feel really are just part of the same disinformation package?
Right. So Pakistan put that disinformation out in 1998 to solve a short-term diplomatic problem they were having with the United States. But then reporters have repeated it endlessly without ever checking it.
I see. Now, were you able to get this information directly from Pakistani intelligence? Because, of course, you know,
Hamid Mir, the writer of that very first story ever on the kidney problems, says that his source was the Pakistani intelligence agent.
Okay. All right, fine. Now, do you have difficulty getting intelligence agencies to share information with you? And can you be sure that the intelligence agency will really give honest information?
Well, sometimes they give dishonest information. That's why you have more than one source you cross and cross-check all the time. There are various techniques I use. One of the hardest bits is finding out the name and identities of these people, especially inside the United States. But if you read memoirs of high-ranking CIA officials, there'll often be names mentioned in there, and you can use those to figure out who was in charge, for example, of the Directorate of Operations in a certain time period. Then you get to know that person. If he's retired, he's much easier to get to know. And then as you get to know him better and he tends to respect your judgment, you then say, well, can you introduce me to the person who replaced you? And then you're talking to a current person, and that can be very, very useful.
All right, fine. Well, one of your myths is that there's a danger from suitcase atom bombs in the United States. Would you like to address that issue?
Well, yeah, that's right. I say that it's a myth, that basically there's been a lot of talk that somebody could carry a suitcase-sized bomb into the center of Manhattan or into the Washington subway and detonate it, killing millions of people. And as terrifying as that is, it's just not likely to happen for a whole bunch of reasons. One, yes, it is true that the United States and the Soviet Union did make small portable bombs, but they were supposed to be detonated by a two-man team. They were the size of a footlocker and weighed hundreds and hundreds of pounds. So we're not talking about something that is carry-on luggage. The second major point here is that the United States and the Soviet Union signed a treaty in 1991 to eliminate this entire class of weapons. And there was a Department of Energy official, a very high-ranking official, who was sent to Russia to count all their suitcase nukes and to supervise their destruction and to make sure that every single one was destroyed. And the Russians, of course, sent somebody over here to make sure that every one of ours was destroyed. So the end of the bottom line is this entire class of weapons has been eliminated.
Well,
no longer exists.
If that is true, and I'm not questioning you that it is true, why do we constantly see the television programs that, oh, the terrorists are here, they're going to blow us all up, they've got these suitcase bombs or these dirty bombs, and, you know, they're constantly implanting fear in our minds?
Well, because it's a problem with the media. 40 years ago, the term investigative journalist was a redundancy. Today, it's an oxymoron. No one wants to pick up the phone and actually call government officials who are responsible for things and ask a darn question or two. That's reporting. That's what you're supposed to do. But people don't like to do it. It's a lot easier just to repeat what other people have written and kind of shrug your shoulders. That's a real problem, because if they would have called the Department of Energy to ask about these portable atomic devices, they would find themselves eventually on the phone with Rose Gottemuller, who was the woman who supervised the destruction of all these weapons in Russia. and she can tell you in great detail about them.
All right, fine. Well, another myth, of course, is the fact that Al-Qaeda terrorists would be coming into the United States across the southern border. Why is that a myth? I mean, why wouldn't they be able to come in here?
Well, because it's a lot more. Sending terrorists across the border to accomplish a mission inside the United States is a lot more about just sneaking in. You need a secure method of communication. And you got to look at the Mexican border. So you're looking at the Mexican border through American eyes. You see that there's about 1 million people who cross that border illegally every year. And the Mexican border is a major problem in a lot of ways. I mean, we've got people smuggling, drug smuggling, violence, crime. It's been really tough on the people who live close to the border, especially. Let's just say I wouldn't want to live in Nogales, Arizona, with the rate of car theft and all that from immigrants coming in there. But if you're worried just about terrorism, about the threat posed by Al-Qaeda, you shouldn't look south, you should look north, because from Al-Qaeda's perspective, Canada is a much better place to sneak into the United States from than Mexico. And here's why. Three big reasons. One, there are large Arab immigrant populations in the major Canadian cities. So if you are from Saudi Arabia or Syria or whatever, you can go to Canada and blend in. There are no large Arab immigrant populations in Mexico. You can't blend in. Number two, Canada has one of the most generous welfare states in the world. One of the things we know from captured Al-Qaeda documents is that when you're setting up a terror cell, the very first thing you should do is get every single cell member on welfare. That way they don't have to work. They can work full-time on terrorism. Mexico, by contrast, basically doesn't have a welfare system. And the third big advantage for Al-Qaeda in Canada is political correctness. There are so many rules and restrictions on the police and intelligence services in Canada that it makes it very difficult for them to arrest terrorists. And even when they do manage to arrest them, it makes it very difficult for them to hold them, let alone get them to trial and convict them. The press immediately turns against them. Lawyers pop out of the woodwork to represent these people for free. The police are demonized. It's a mess up there. It's far worse than here. By contrast, in Mexico, the police are very, very few restrictions, and the courts, which might be slow-moving, tend to be on the side of the police.
All right, fine. Then, of course, you make a point that Halliburton, a lot of people think that they're making a lot of money over there. A lot of money is disappearing over in Iraq. Countless billions of dollars that came from the oil money. And then, of course, you know, has been gone to contractors. We really don't know where it's gone. We hear stories about Halliburton selling very expensive gasoline, to the Americans, whereas it'd be a few cents for others, and they're getting many dollars a gallon here. And you're suggesting that Halliburton really is squeaky clean, is not really, is just getting a bad rap?
Well, I'm not suggesting it's squeaky clean. I'm sure they're as dysfunctional as any large American company is. But what people who say they made large profits in Iraq are just wrong. If you read the audited financial statements, remember now, if the corporate executives who sign these statements lie, they go to jail. You read the audited financial statements from 2003, the first year of the Iraq War, you find that they made a 2.4% profit margin. Now I ask you, if your 401k made 2.4% last year, would you be happy? Now, in the following year, 2004, they earned less than 2% profit margin in Iraq. So they're deploying hundreds of millions of dollars and earning a lower rate of return than a little old lady with a savings account.
That's not
a great use of their money. They're very unhappy. They would love to get out of this contract, this federal contract, and they can't. It's a 10-year contract. The lawyers who advise them say that they would not win a court case to get out of the contract. So they've considered also selling the Iraq unit, the Halliburton Iraq unit, Kellogg Brown and Root it's called. And they had it on the auction block for a year and a half. No takers. Nobody wanted to buy it. So this king is not a cash cow. It's a dog.
Well, I thought that they got a certain number of non-bid contracts. Is that true or not?
There are two contracts. The first one is called Log Cap. That was there were a lot of bidders on that. Halliburton won it with the lowest bid. That's why the profit margin is so low. But that contract was awarded back in 2000, and it was for all military operations overseas. So it was awarded by President Clinton. So that's the other contract, the no-bid one, is called RIO. That's just for certain operations in Iraq. But, of course, it was a no-bid contract because this was before the war, and you didn't want to give away the fact that we're about to go to war by putting an ad in the Washington Post saying we'll take all bidders on this contract.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Richard Miniger.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
If you think your engine is safe by having the oil changed every 3,000 miles, think again. Every time you start your car, your engine creates friction between the moving parts. These moving parts wear against each other, and the result is small metal particles circulating through your oil, causing premature wear and damage to your engine. Oil filters do a good job of trapping the large metal particles, but they will not trap the most harmful tiny particles. These tiny particles circulate constantly through your oil, and over time, your engine begins to show signs of wear. This is why you need the Filter Mag. The Filter Mag is a powerful magnet that holds itself to the outside of your oil filter, trapping the tiny metal particles to the inside wall of the filter, extending the life of your oil and ultimately extending the life of your engine. The reusable Filter Mag is maintenance-free, installs in 2 seconds, and lasts forever. So what are you waiting for? Go to filtermag.com. That's filtermag.com. Or call 800-345-8376. That's 800-345-8376.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications with low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions. RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
I think we need fewer governments.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Richard Miniger, and we were just talking about the neoconservative organization. He doesn't feel it's much of a consequence. It only has about 3 employees and a small office there, and And certainly he puts very little credence into the concerns of people who feel that this organization has an inordinate influence of our society. And then we were mentioning this move towards world government, which some people feel is the basis of foreign policy. And of course, Richard doesn't believe that. In fact, he says he thinks we ought to cut back on the power of our federal government. Would that be a fair statement?
I would, yeah. Look, I would be happy, if you're worried about the United Nations, I'd be happy to pull the plug on that. I wouldn't want to abolish it entirely. I'd like to see the United States leave the UN, and let's move the United Nations and its bureaucracy to some terrible place like Bonn, West Germany, and let all those bureaucrats suffer living in a bad city like that. I've spent a lot of time observing various United Nations operations in different parts of the world. When I was on the border, the Thai border, Burma border, in 1999, I met with the Christian missionary who was running a camp full of Karen refugees. There must have been 100,000 people living in bamboo huts in this refugee camp. And there was the fear continuously among the people that the United Nations would take over running the refugee camp. And they said every time the United Nations takes over a refugee camp, and bear in mind, in that area, there were 16 camps, and 15 of them were run by the UN. It says every time the United Nations takes over a camp, corruption goes up and people starve. So please don't let them take our camp. Our camp is independent, it's run by Christians, and nobody starves. And so, no matter what your politics are, if you go and observe the UN as they operate in the third world, it's a frightening thing. You see UN-sponsored peacekeepers from Nigeria raping women in Rwanda. You see them in Darfur demanding sex before giving out fresh food and water to various women. And of course, these Nigerian men have guns and uniforms, and these women are starving refugees, taking advantage of that situation. And the United Nations looks the other way. And then, of course, you got the corruption at the top with the oil for food scandal. So I think there's a lot of problems with the United Nations. So, Dr. Stan, before you go forming your world government, you might want to take a long look at the United Nations.
Well, believe me, I don't want to form a world government. I'm very much against a world government. No, I have no illusions about it. I am as concerned as you are. Now, of course, one of the other things you bring out is that racial profiling really wouldn't work. In other words, this idea when, of course, we're worried about the terrorists getting on the planes, and of course, some people say, well, maybe we ought to racially profile people, and we ought to be more concerned about the Middle Easterners than we are the little 80-year-old white lady who was with a cane. But everybody has to be considered equally by the people who are checking us out for terrorism. So why do you say that racial profiling won't work?
Well, Dr. Stan, I kind of take the point of view that both sides of this debate are boneheads. Currently, the airport security in the United States is a joke.
Okay. You know,
when they're searching that little old lady with the walker and they're afraid she's going to take over the airplane, you know what? If she's going to hijack the plane, I'd pay to see it. I just want to know how it's done. How does an 80-year-old woman with a walker all by herself hijack a plane? I don't know how you do that.
Well, I agree with you totally.
I don't understand why they search babies under the age of 1 year old, because even if the baby managed to hijack the plane, he wouldn't have any way to give orders to the pilot because he can't talk yet, right? So, I mean, it's just ridiculous what our government is doing.
On the other hand, what the
folks on the right say is, well, let's just focus on the Arab males. Well, here's the problem with that. Did you know that half of all Arab American citizens are Christians? And if you're looking for Muslim terrorists, it doesn't make sense to search Christians, does it? And another thing is that Al-Qaeda will simply recruit people who don't fit the profile. So if your racial profile is you're going to search Arab males, they'll send you Asian females. In fact, there's already evidence that they've been recruiting people, women in the Philippines, to serve as couriers and operatives of other kinds. We also know they've been active in the French and Spanish prisons to recruit people. So if you're looking for Arab males, they might end up sending you French or Spanish males. The guy you're looking for might not be named Mohammed. He might be named Pierre or Jose. So what you really want to do is you don't want to focus on some big category, like someone's race or their sex. You want to focus on very specific things. We know that even though terrorism is profoundly antisocial in its effect, it's very social in its internal operations. These people know each other. They phone each other. if you have a known terrorist who is making repeated calls to someone else, you start to watch that other person. And if they're sharing bank accounts with known terrorists, if they're sharing apartment leases or home mortgages with a known terrorist, those are the people you should be searching at the airport, people who are connected by blood or marriage to terrorists.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here.
Copies of the preceding broadcast are available at GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes Scholarship, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
Listen to the NutriMedical Report. I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, a pro-life physician who has worked as a contract civilian doctor with top classified U.S. companies and the military. We talk about the facts about the dangers of mercury and aluminum and cancer viruses in your vaccines, mind control technologies, non-lethal weapons, not-so-depleted uranium exposure of our troops, and government-sponsored terrorism of Oklahoma City and 9/11. With micronukes and control munitions, contrails and globalist-directed weather disaster of New World Orleans and the Patriot Act plan for a national ID, coming American Hiroshima and the avian flu pandemic, to name a few. I interview experts on functional medical wellness, and thousands of the best science-based health supplements are available at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call 888-212-8871. Inform yourself and take action to control your destiny and the destiny of America and our world at NutriMedical.com. Or call 888-212-8871.
Herbal Healer Academy is a global supplier of the finest natural medicine that you may need in these troubled times. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver 500 parts per million, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for contrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning, to name a few. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. For a limited time, you can sign up on the website and receive our 104-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com. Check out our online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. We have been working hard since 1988 to save the remnant. That's herbalhealer.com. Your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I do need to announce that the FDA has recalled Miracle 2 Neutralizer and Miracle 2 Gel and requests that you return the product to the manufacturer because, according to the FDA, they are bacteriologically contaminated and not proven to be safe and effective. The FDA claims that the product could, and I stress could, pose a risk of serious adverse events. They don't cite any, but they say it could, and of course, the recall doesn't involve Miracle 2 soap or products, but just simply the neutralizer and the gel. So if you purchase the products from elsewhere, please return them to the producer, that's Tedco Incorporated, at 738 Wild Street, West Monroe, Louisiana, 71282. That's 738 Wild Road, West Monroe, Louisiana, 71282. That's Tedco. And report any adverse reactions. If you purchase the products from us, why, we'll be glad to return your money. Just give us a call at 1-800-544-5555. 8927, and you send them back to us, we refund your money. However, we will have to report your name to the Federal Drug Administration. It's one of the things they want. Well, let's get on, of course, to our other subject today. And if you have any questions, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. One of the interesting things was the discussion with Mr. Miniter about the presidential daily briefing of August 6th. Now, this was about 5 weeks before the September 11th attack, which was entitled Bin Laden Determined to Strike in U.S. That's Bin Laden Determined to Strike in U.S. There are two mentions here of hijacking planes. The third from the last paragraph said this: we had not been able to corroborate some of the sensational threat reporting, such as from service in 1988, saying Bin Laden wanted to hijack a U.S. aircraft to gain a release of the blind Sheikh Umar Abdel Rahman that the U.S. held. And then it goes on to say in the next paragraph that nevertheless, FBI information since that time indicates patterns of suspicious activity in this country consistent with preparation for hijackings or other types of attacks, including recent surveillance of federal buildings in New York. And, of course, this was prepared by our intelligence agencies. And just a few months later, they were testifying, swear under oath, why we thought the attack was going to happen in Europe now, or it was going to happen overseas. Why would you prepare this report for the president saying Bin Laden determined to attack in the United States, and then swear under oath that you thought the attack was going to be overseas? Were they lying to the president? Or were they lying, of course, when they testified under oath? That when, of course, you have a country where God has been more or less outlawed, why should anybody bother to tell the truth? And if you do tell the truth, well, there can be very, very serious consequences for you. I mean, you can be fired. You can lose your job. They can discredit you. They can discredit your family. They can kill you. And if you don't think people are assassinated in this country, well, I've talked to three assassins hired in this country by our intelligence agencies to kill people, and at least three of the people we've interviewed here have died under very, very mysterious circumstances. One of them committed suicide. His name was Gary Webb. He committed suicide by shooting himself in the head. Twice. If you're out there in the listening audience, you'd like to give us a call. There'll be open lines for the rest of the hour. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295. And Jim Keith, of course, had written a number of books. We'd interviewed him many times. And Jim Keith went into the hospital for a very minor procedure and suddenly died afterwards. And, well, it could have happened. I mean, certainly very, very rarely. He actually had an arthroscopic surgery on his knee. I did hundreds of them, probably thousands in my career as a physician. I never had from an arthroscopic surgery in a relatively young person, anybody who died of a pulmonary embolism, which we're told that's what killed Jim Keith. But within a couple of weeks, Jim Keith's publisher died in an automobile accident. A couple of weeks later after that, his wife died in another mysterious accident. Well, of course, that could all be coincidence. But, of course, I think we have to ask very seriously, is it coincidence or is there a pattern that they actually do kill people here in the United States who get out of line? Do they threaten people? Yes, of course. If you heard my interviews with Bill Dumas when his uncle was trying to get information about one of the men who was abandoned in Korea. And there were four or five veterans that were going to come and testify, and the government did not want the word to get out that we had intentionally left people to die in Korea, American servicemen. And all of the veterans were threatened and told not to testify. Two of them, of course, died, before they could testify. Two of them were so ill they couldn't testify, and the one who did come, he finally got there, and of course, as he's sitting waiting to go in to testify, a high government officer comes in, military officer, and tells him if he dares to testify, they'll go after his pension. And here's a man who's in his 70s or 80s. If he dares to testify, they'll expose some terrible things about his mother's promiscuity. Ladies and gentlemen, they're evil and wicked people. And when you understand that, it's so much easier to understand what's really going on in the world today. Well, it's right now we've got calling in. Is this Steve from Salinas? Hello. Who is this?
Steve from Salinas.
Okay, Steve. Did you have a question?
Oh, yes, I did. Thank you, Dr. Chan. You had mentioned yesterday, I believe it was, all the books written about the Kennedy assassination that just provided bad information.
Right.
I was wondering if one time in one of your newsletters you couldn't list those books.
Well, there are hundreds of books out there. If you came to my library, I bet I have 30 books on the Kennedy assassination. There are only a few of them that I think that are very well worthwhile. So many of them are written by people who are confused or people who are agents of the CIA, and many of them will admit that they've worked for military intelligence, and they come up with all of these incredible explanations, each one designed to confuse us. I think that Craig Roberts' book we have, A Sniper Looks at Dealey Plaza, we carry it, I think, was excellent. I think that Craig's other book, which is available at his website, where he talks about the missing witnesses, we used to carry the book, but it's out of print. There are over 100 people who knew something about the Kennedy assassination who died under mysterious circumstances. And then, of course, we have two great 4-tape sets with people, many of them who were intimately involved with everything going on, from Lee Harvey Oswald. I bet you've never heard an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. To my interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the CIA, pardon me, the Pentagon liaison to the CIA. And, of course, Colonel Prouty was immortalized in Oliver Stone's film on the JFK, where he actually supposedly sat down on the bench with Kevin Costner, who was playing the part of Jim Garrison, the crusading district attorney from New Orleans, and the colonel told the district attorney there was a conspiracy to keep after it. And of course we have a wonderful 2-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who never sat on a park bench with Kevin Costner or Jim Garrison, but he did tell Garrison he knew there was a conspiracy to kill the president because he was right in the very center of it. And then, of course, in the second set, we have an interview with Madeleine Duncan Brown, who is Lyndon Johnson's mistress, who tells the whole story about the meeting that was held the night before. So we've got a tremendous amount of information at Radio Liberty. Have you been to our website and looked at our website and the material we have?
Oh, in fact, I have everything you've mentioned so far. Would you recommend Fletcher Prouty's book? I think he wrote a book on the assassination.
I think it was The Secret Team. It's a great book, but I mean, it's not going to give you all the information because he goes more into the CIA and the Murder Incorporated and the things that they were doing. But I really believe that probably as close to anything that we have would be the story that a sniper looks at Dealey Plaza. And, of course, we do carry another book called Regicide, and this is written supposedly. Now, I can't tell you for certain, but supposedly it's based upon the papers of the man from the CIA who planned the whole thing. And we recommend the book, although I'll have to say that I feel far more comfortable with Craig Roberts than I do with Gregory Douglas, who wrote Regicide. But if you haven't read Regicide, it's must-read.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
God bless you. Thanks so much. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. And if they could get away with killing an American president, could they get away with creating a phony war in Vietnam and a phony war in Iraq today? And the next war is going to be with Iran and Syria. Only this, I believe, is going to have terrible repercussions on America. We've got Putney calling from Michigan. Hi, Putney.
Good evening. A few days ago, I think you were a guest on another program, and you made reference to the alleged execution of Timothy McVeigh and the fact that someone had a recording of that, which I guess you said he was a talk show host, and he played that recording, and subsequently a SWAT team killed him, is that correct?
That's the story. And this is a gentleman who wrote Ride a Pale Horse, and his name escapes me right now, but he was a talk show host in Texas. And shortly after the death of Timmy McVeigh, he had a tape. It was an interview that he had recorded with some woman who was actually there. She was a writer or a reporter, and she'd been asked to witness this. And she's on somebody else's program, and she is saying, Well, you know, I really didn't know that after you died, after you were dead, you kept on breathing. And he would play that tape over and over and over again for his audience across America. And within a few weeks of that, why, a SWAT team descended upon him and killed him. And I'm speaking now of the talk show host.
Yes, all right. I thought that's probably who you were talking about. His name was William Cooper.
William Cooper, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, I had a suspicion that that's who you meant. I didn't realize that it was a SWAT team. I thought I was told or understood by a person who succeeded him on his broadcast for a while that it was the local police department.
Well, I think it was the local police department, and I think it was several people from the local police department that were there.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right, fine. Thank you so much, Putney. William Cooper believed what he was doing, and I believe that any of us are out on the front lines of this battle. Our lives are in danger, but you have to do what's right. American boys are dying in Iraq today for absolutely nothing. I mean, this is a contrived war. Why is it a contrived war? Why, very simply, first of all, there was no justification for going in. Did you know that Iraq had offered to surrender beforehand? And, of course, that's an article written by Mr. Michael Maloff, who is working for our Defense Department. If you'd like to see the article, give us a call, and we'll be glad to give it to you. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and ask for Michael Maloff's article or the article about how the Iraqis offered to surrender. And they were going to give us the oil, they were going to work with us on Israel, they were going to let our troops come in, they were going to have an election within 6 months, or maybe it was 2 years, I've forgotten the details, but they were going to allow our soldiers to come into the country without firing a shot. But that was the last thing we wanted. We wanted a war. We wanted instability so we could treat our troops there permanently. Did you know that Saddam Hussein had offered to leave the country and go into exile in the United Arab Emirates, country over there, the Emirates, the United Arab Emirates? And you can get this off of Wikipedia, but this is all in my latest newsletter. Now that... not the newsletter that just went out, but the one that's coming out will be the January newsletter. You could always call and ask for a copy of my January newsletter. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Saddam was ready to leave, but they wouldn't let him leave and go over there because they wanted a war. And, of course, once we got in there, within just a relatively few weeks, we'd seize Baghdad. We were in Baghdad in relatively few days, and the war was over on the 1st of May, 2003. And you remember that President Bush got on the plane and puts on his hair gear, and, you know, the plane sits down on the carrier, and the president announces, the war in Iraq is over, we won. Well, of course, the one thing was, the last thing they wanted was a stable solution. So they sent over a man named Paul Bremer, who, of course, is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, who had worked for Henry Kissinger and Associates, who was part of this whole complex of the people, you know, who want chaos. And so what did Mr. Bremer do? Well, the generals, the American generals, wanted, of course, to organize the Iraqi army and have them maintain order or help maintain order in Iraq. They didn't want order in Iraq. You got to have chaos. So what do? Mr. Bremer overrode the American generals, ordered that the Iraqi army be disbanded, ordered the Iraqi police force be disbanded, ordered the Iraqi civil service to be disbanded, and created the chaos. And now, you, Chris, got all these people in the army. We'd been dropping leaflets and say, if you don't fight, we'll take care of you. You know, you don't have anything to worry about. Just don't fight. Lay down your weapons. You could trust us. We're Americans. We would never lie to you. We will take care of you. And if you doubt that, that was in the testimony that General Zinni gave before when he talked before the Council on Foreign Relations. We can get to that. And so after promising the Iraqi soldiers that, what did we do? Why, we fired them. They had no source of income. There were no jobs. Their families were starving. And, you know, some of these people got pretty angry. Now, this is where the insurgents are coming from. The president says the Iraqi insurgents are terrorists, are part of a global terrorist movement. But certainly Congressman Murtha says that only 7% of the insurgents are foreign fighters. 93% are Iraqis who are fighting to drive us out of their country so they can get back to some sort of stability. According to the Christian Science Monitor, it's somewhere between 90 and 96% of the insurgents are Iraqis who are fighting to defend their country against the invaders. At least that's their perception of it. But you see, we have no intention of leaving there. In fact, the war is going to expand. It's only a matter of time. If there weren't chaos in Iraq, how could we possibly justify remaining there? You will want to read my last three newsletters. The first two are already posted, and the third one will be up there middle of next month. And it really goes into the fact that the Iraqis had offered to surrender, and we wouldn't accept their surrender. Saddam Hussein had offered to leave, and we wouldn't let him leave. It's exactly as it was during the Second World War when the German generals repeatedly tried to surrender, and we wouldn't let them. The Japanese had tried repeatedly to surrender, and we wouldn't let them. And if you doubt that, you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-927. Ask for the Chicago Tribune article, August 1945. And I got this actually from the Chicago Tribune. And it tells you how the Japanese have been trying and trying and trying to surrender, and we wouldn't let them for almost 6 months. And the invasion of Iwo Jima and of Okinawa and the dropping of the two bombs weren't necessary. Unless you understand there's something evil out there that wants as much horror and terror and carnage as possible, you can't understand what's going on. When you understand we're involved in the battle against organized evil, then, of course, many of these things begin to make sense. So, well, we'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up today's program, but you'll want to get our material. And remember our website, www.radioliberty.com. If you disagree with what we're saying, why give us a call.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine, but those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Is black magic performed daily right in plain view on television, in movies, and in America's leading newspapers and magazines? I'm Tex Mars. My newest book, Codex Magica, is a real eye-opener. 624 pages, over 1,000 photographs. Codex Magica shows the world's leading celebrities, from movie stars and presidents to bankers and senators, caught in the act. Discover the true secret signs of the Illuminati, their mysterious symbols, their hidden language. Encyclopedic, documented, Codex Magica unmasks a conspiracy of immense evil. Please order your personal copy of Codex Magica on the internet at powerofprophecy.com. Or simply phone toll-free 1-800-234-9673. That's 1-800-234-9673.
You need your cup of coffee each morning, right? But you're not sure if it's right for your health. Now there's Gano Coffee. Gano Coffee is the new low-acid, low-caffeine, naturally healthy coffee. What makes Gano Coffee special is the secret ingredient Ganoderma, a concentration of red reishi mushroom, also known as the miraculous king of herbs. Known for its high nutritional value, reishi packs a bigger punch than ginseng. 2 to 3 packets of Gano Coffee can replace a whole pot of coffee. All-natural Gano Coffee tastes great and is a smart alternative for optimal health and longevity. Find out what people around the world are drinking for energy and to meet the demands of a busy day the natural and healthy way. Sample Gano Coffee for yourself for only the cost of shipping and handling. Try Gano Coffee today. Visit www.coffeeontheair.com. That's coffeeontheair.com. Or call 866-271-3653. That's 866-271-3653. Call now.
We're not going to... Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest today, of course, was Richard Miniter. Unfortunately, he couldn't stay with us for very long, but at least we did have an opportunity to get some information out. Any of you would like to see the Presidential Daily Briefing, and that was on August 6th of the year 2001, headlined, Bin Laden Determined to Attack in the United States. And you would think that if the president knew that, he would have put the country under a state of emergency. They would have had people there on the basically in all the planes. They would have had air marshals on our planes. They could have put National Guard troops on the planes to protect the American people. Why didn't they do that? They didn't want to create panic. Well, think what they did by allowing the attack to occur. They knew the attack was coming. One of the hijackers had defected in April of the year 2000. If you doubt that, we'll send you a page out of the report from the Joint Intelligence Committee of the House and Senate, testimony given on the 18th of September of the year 2002 by Eleanor Hill. It tells about the hijacker who was part of the team who defected a year and a half before the attack. They knew the attack was coming. They knew exactly what it involved. And if you didn't ever see that article written by Bill Gertz, it appeared about 2 months before the attack, I think it was in July of 2001. It was called Operation Bajinka, telling about the plan to hijack planes and crash them into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon and the White House and the Trans-America Building in San Francisco and the Sears Building in Chicago. And the most amazing thing is Bill Gertz has forgotten he wrote it. Well, maybe. All I know is a Gertz Highliner, and we got it off the Internet the day after the 911 attack. And you know that disappeared off the Internet. It has never been seen again. But we have a copy, and we'd be glad to send it to you. They knew the attack was coming. They did nothing to stop it. And all of those buildings in the World Trade Center, including building number 7, a block and a half away, just crumbled to the ground. That's an amazing, amazing story, because many of them crumbled within the center of them. The periphery didn't, but certainly Building 7 crumbled almost as if there were explosives all around the base. And, of course, the man who was in charge of security in the North Tower was none other than Marvin Bush. Now, if you doubt that, go up on the Internet and look it up. Type in Marvin Bush, North Tower, and you'll find that the president's brother was in charge of security at the North Tower. What do you think the chances are, of that happening just by chance? Or Building 7 coming down by chance? Or the two magic passports surviving by chance? If you'd like, of course, to get the copies of Project Bajinka Report by Bill Gertz, if you'd like to see the Presidential Daily Briefing, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 to get things off the Internet. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, America is under attack today. The attack is not going on over in Iraq. It is an attack on America here. And our children are being poisoned with fluoride and with aspartame and with vaccines and with mercury and with genetically altered food. The health of the American people is declining. Our children's minds are being attacked. And when they graduate from high school, they do comparative testing with students from other countries, and our students are down at the bottom. They're bottom of the barrel. They can't compete with students from other nations. America is under attack today. The attack is not overseas. It's right here. Iraq is a wonderful, wonderful distraction, though. As our boys go overseas to fight for freedom, we lose our freedom here at home. Well, remember our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Remember our website, radioliberty.com. We do need your help to continue doing what we're doing, to be on stations, about 60 outlets every week. And we have to buy time on these stations. It's a very expensive proposition. But quite frankly, with your help, we're going to continue doing it. We're going to continue waking people up. And those who God wants to hear will hear. So please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers. But please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
The illuminated Berkey base allows most gravity filters to be used in the center of a table by raising the spigot level. Made of durable Lexan polymer, the same material used for bulletproof glass, it has 8 LED lamps. Incredibly, the low-energy LEDs will last for more than 11 years of continuous use and are bright enough to be spotted for over a mile in the dark. The LED lamps are powered by an AC adapter, and during emergencies, the rechargeable batteries will operate them all night long. When the LEDs are switched off, the AC adapter automatically recharges the batteries. The Berkey base is available in gorgeous cobalt blue or practical bright white LEDs, ideal as an emergency light, flashlight, or nightlight. Get the illuminated Berkey base for only $69, or get both white and blue for only $125 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.